Good morning. Let us pray. We pray that you will open my mouth to proclaim your word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that the same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers here assembled to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law, even as you have promised. Amen. Listen, if you have ears to hear, then hear. Listen, if we can hear, then the kingdom of God will grow. Listen, how often through your lives have you been told to listen, or have you asked people to listen to you? I expect hundreds of times, maybe thousands, as a child, as a parent, or a grandparent. At school, at work, at church, in an emergency, during an argument, at a family gathering, the list would be endless. Take a moment to remember, did you listen fully? Were you listened to? Were your ears open to hear? Did your listeners use their ears properly to hear you? As some of you may recall, earlier this year, very sadly, the last of Dad's Army cast, Ian Lavender, passed away. His part was playing Stupid Boy Pike, and the series was written by David Croft and Jimmy Perry. They wrote many other sitcoms, Heidi High, to name one. David Croft also collaborated to write another Second World War-based comedy, Hello, Hello. A brilliant series. A character from the French Resistance began any of her words with, "Listen very carefully, I shall say this only once." It applied no time to chat or repetition when fighting a war. So listen, as I will only be saying this once. And when you consider the context for Jesus, maybe he was thinking the same when he said to the crowds and his disciples, "If you have ears to hear, then hear." Let's first consider where and when this parable fits into the gospel. It features both in Matthew and Mark. It is probably one of the best known and one of the very few that chosen for study. I still remember recalling verse by verse during my Divinity O-level exam many, many summers ago. Jesus' presence was gaining momentum and notoriety. Crowds were getting larger by the day, and the Pharisees were becoming more agitated by his presence. Jesus was working on the Sabbath. He was preaching and healing at will, reminding everyone that the Sabbath was made for the sake of man and nor man for the Sabbath. Matthew states that this was at the start of the plot to do away with Jesus. The crowds grew large, as I mentioned, and I wondered whether you have been in a large crowd or addressed one of considerable size. I can think of a few. I was lucky enough to be in Pall Mall for the coronation, maybe at a Genesis concert in Nebworth, a prize giving at school. Or luckily, a few years ago, like many of you may go to sports fixtures, I was at Yokohama watching England beat New Zealand in the World Cup. What did Jesus and the disciples think of such numbers? Of course, there were no microphones or speakers then. How was Jesus going to be heard? So similar to a stage barrier, or maybe a rope, or a ground of advertising surrounding, Jesus chose water and onto a lake he went. He was set, and he started the prophecy of Isaiah, as heard in the first reading. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret since the world was made. So shall my word be that that goes out from my mouth after giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." However, what is a parable? It's a story. It's told as an illustration, as a metaphor. Text further states that they're written to prevent outsiders from understanding the truth so that they won't repent. So that they won't be forgiven. Parables are complex. Not everyone is intended to understand them. A parable is one way that God brings about his judgment on people who ignore him. And this one, the sower, has added meaning set within the context of hiding his saving message in farming stories in response to people rejecting him. It is to the people who said, "We will not have you as our king." So Jesus said, "In that case, I won't let you understand my teaching." The farming link continues with other parables that make reference to darnel, mustard, and yeast. Listen. A sower went out to sow. What images spring to mind? A single person in one field, or large machines covering acres of farmland? My experience takes me to beautiful Swaledale in Yorkshire, where I have spent many hours with God reflecting and praying. The saying that Yorkshire is God's own country could not be more truthful. I see nature's sowing of the seed there too, for example by wind or through birds or other animals. Seeds need a chance, and the more spread out, the greater the chance for new growth. Often referred to as the broadcast method, the sower throws out the seed in a sweeping motion to try and get gravity to make it land where you want it to. It is a broadcast. Think nowadays how people broadcast news and information. We have an expectation to listen and hear things almost before they have happened. We seem beholden to social media platforms. But that is now, and not then in Jesus' time, but something to consider later. So who is the sower? Listen, the answer is God. God is the sower. It is God who is broadcasting his word, the seed. His aim is that he wants everyone to hear the good news of the gospel. He wants no one to miss out. The different places where the seed lands are us and how we react to hearing the word. Which is why God, through Jesus, wants us to listen. Listening counts if we keep listening. It is expectant. It must be active. This parable is, amongst others, mentioning seed challenges about how challenging us all and where we are hearing the word of God. This particular parable is focused on the link between listening and being fruitful in harvest. First, in verse 4 within Mark's chapter, some seed falls on the path, and the birds take it away. As explained later in verse 15, the word is heard, but no sooner have they heard it than Satan comes and carries off the word. These are the people who listen but then become indifferent. They know there is a cost to following Jesus and they are not willing to pay the price. Second, in verse 5, some seed fell on rocky ground with no depth of soil. It sprouts quickly, but the sun scorched the corn and it withers away. The explanation in verse 16 states the word is heard and people accept it with joy, but it strikes no root in them. They have no staying power. When any trouble or persecution is upon them because of the word, they fall away. They are superficial believers. Third, in verse 7, some seed fell among thistles. The thistles shot up and choked the corn, yielding no crop. Verse 18 explains that the word is heard, but worldly cares, false glamour of wealth, and all kinds of evil desire come in and choke the word. It yields nothing again. The all-consuming 21st century highlights that even more, particularly for our younger generations. They try to juggle living for God, if at all, with living for themselves at the same time. They do not obey God's word. Finally, in verse 8, some seed fell into good soil. It came up. It grew to bear fruit, to make harvest. The yield was 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Jesus concluded, "If you have ears to hear, then here. Verse 20 explains that the word is heard and welcomed. They bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. Listen and obey God's word. God makes us fruitful. As a mathematician, I focused on that sequence, 30, 60, 100. Why did Jesus choose them? Well, they're triangular. 1 plus 2 makes 3. 1 plus 2 plus 3 makes 10. How the word is spread is mathematical. So which of these four words, examples, explains, describes you? Maybe those around you. And how are you listening? Are we consistent with our listening? Does it change? How can we increase the listening within our community, throughout the world? Listen. If we can hear, then the kingdom of God will grow. Sadly, the first two soils show that people hear the word but end up not believing. They just do not listen. There is a difference within the next two. One person hears and believes, but allows the world to change their beliefs, and it is not fruitful. There is no harvest. The good ground allows the seed to bear fruit. They listen to the word of God and respond by being doers of the word. So how does God sow today? How do we? Are we a partnership? Yes, as God uses us as believers, as his sowers, similar to how Jesus called his disciples and continued to call for disciples throughout his time on earth. Making disciples now starts with the sowing of the word. If people meet Jesus through listening, our job is to learn to have confidence to speak God's word. Not alone, as God will be with us through his Holy Spirit. We will do this important work because we love the people we are speaking with. We must pray for God to continue to prepare the ground of our sowing so that when the seed lands, it will take root. I expect many of us have already started and have seen plenty of harvest, but there is still an even greater need to broadcast the seed. Broadcasting that uses as many mediums as possible in this modern age. Whether it be Instagram, maybe Facebook, TikTok, X, why not? Sharing the word to everyone, which is what God was doing in this parable. However, I expect many of us would prefer to speak one-to-one or within a smaller group, before or after a church service, within a house or prayer group. Maybe just to people who are already believers. But God and Jesus challenges us with us to choose all, for us to speak the gospel to as many different groups as possible. Personally, I am working out what might be the best time within a school where I am a governor, or maybe within a local cricket club where I am a youth coach and player. Where would you choose? Maybe you have already. And it has worked or not. Would you try again? Would you identify others? Do you pray for God's assistance? In ages past and in the future, we must be prepared for rejection, for the non-believers. However, if we create the best growing conditions for the gospel in our own lives, we can have confidence to find similar conditions for others, to bear fruitful harvest, 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And then others can add to the spreading of the word. Think how you listen, how you first listened, how you want to listen in the future. Working at this and at our spiritual lives requires energy. We need to work hard at the inputs in our lives that allows us to spend time regularly with God. Through contemplation, praying together, reading out loud his word, that enables us to seek God's guidance and comfort to help us to be fruitful. We can work too on learning from each other and fellow believers to share our lives with each other. So let's listen to God's word carefully and obey it. Let us develop as sowers to everyone. And let us commit to ensuring that we take good care of the ground of our lives and do what we can to become fruitful, to allow the best possible harvest. Listen, if we can hear, then the kingdom of God will grow. Thank you for listening, and keep sowing. Amen.